to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 3rd, 2019, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
About 18 or 19 years ago, my family took a trip to Arizona to see relatives and also to visit the Grand Canyon. We were very excited to show my older daughter the Grand Canyon. My younger daughter was in utero and couldn't see anything. Margaret was about 2.5 years old, and we were so excited to show her the Grand Canyon. We walked along the path, and, you know, on the left-hand side, the most absolutely incredible view, I think, in the country. Just this exquisite view of this canyon, and she would have none of it. She thought the little rocks on the right-hand side of the path were much more interesting. We kept saying, "No, look over here," and she's like, "But Dad, this rock, it's really cool." Today's scriptures offer us an opportunity for a mountaintop experience. We have Moses climbing up to receive the commandments of God and to be transformed by God's grace. We have Jesus and the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration looking over at the Grand Canyon, or looking at the little rocks. Peter and James and John are a little bit like my daughter, not sure what they're looking at. Which place are we supposed to look? What are we supposed to do? They are overwhelmed by this view. When we talk about a mountaintop experience in our spiritual life, we are often talking about an experience where we feel God's presence in a special way. Sometimes someone will say, "Oh, I had a mountaintop experience when I went on a renewal weekend, like a Curcio or a Happening, this incredible experience where I just felt the love of God so powerfully." For others, it's in nature. It's a literal mountaintop, climbing up on the mountain and seeing the grandeur and beauty of God's creation, like at least my wife and I did at the Grand Canyon, or perhaps you have experienced God's power and grace in the power and beauty of nature. Or perhaps it's in music. I can think of an experience I had in England when I was in college, hearing King's College Choir, and the heavens just opened for me in that moment, and I was just transported out of the ordinary world and into some place much more spectacular. I felt the presence and power of God in a very deep and real way. And those moments I can look back at, and I bet you can too. I bet each of you has moments where you look back and say, "That is when I really felt the reality of God's presence." Perhaps it's in a low moment. A lot of times in my life where I've been closest to God have been when I have most needed God. Moments of grief or loneliness or despair, when I felt the wings of God's presence encircling me and the comfort and grace of God's presence. Whatever these moments are for you, they are incredibly important because we need those manifestations of God's power and presence. We look at the story today of the Transfiguration. When Jesus went up on the mountaintop, he was preparing for the last days of his life. After the Transfiguration, he would walk down from that mountain into the valley of the shadow of death, there to enter Jerusalem, to be arrested and betrayed, to be tried and executed. And as he prepared for that journey into the valley, I think he needed that moment of clarity on the mountain. I love the idea of Moses and Elijah kind of conferring with him, you know, giving him a little last-minute advice, almost like coaches, you know. "All right, huddle up, Jesus. We got to talk about this next period of your ministry before we send you off for the final quarter, for the last 2 minutes, for the victory that you are going to accomplish." And I love that the disciples were there to see it as well, because if Jesus needed that moment of clarity, of glory, I think the disciples needed it even more. because they too were going to face their own valleys of the shadow of death. They were going to face their own trials and temptations and difficulties. They too would walk with Jesus, carrying his cross after his resurrection and ascension. It would be they who carried the gospel out into the world, who suffered and who died. And those moments of glory, I think, were what gave them the strength to carry on. Those moments of glory are what give us the strength to carry on. We need moments where we experience God's power and presence, because we too face those valleys, don't we? We too face trials and temptations and difficulties. We face difficult physical problems and illnesses. We face deaths and grieving, and we face challenges in our work life and in our relationships. We carry so much of the weight of the world on our shoulders, so much of the pain and difficulty of life. And what gives us the strength to carry on is often these moments of glory. Now, I used to think that it was really something that God was not there during those difficult times, right? That God was present to me on those mountaintop experiences, and then for some unknown reason, God would back away during my times of difficulty. Where is God, we say, when those difficult things are happening? But I've come to realize through my own spiritual journey that it's not God who backs away from me, but that I too often back away from God. It's not that God isn't present in those difficult times, it's that I am prevented somehow from seeing and experiencing God's grace sometimes when I feel like I need him the most. I remember going years ago to Italy when I was in college. I got to go to Florence and to see the amazing artwork in the Uffizi, and I can't remember now, maybe it's the Academy, I think, wherever the Statue of David is. You ever seen the Statue of David? It is one of the greatest works of art, I think, in human history. Michelangelo's idealized portrait of David. And as you walk towards that absolutely enormous statue, it was way bigger than I thought, as you walk towards that statue, you pass through a corridor, at least you used to, with statues on either side. And those are the ones that really grabbed me. As much as I love the beauty of David, what really got me were the statues of the slaves that Michelangelo had carved and not finished that were along the sides of that hallway. When he was asked about how he carved them, Michelangelo said, "I do not create the forms in the marble. The forms are already there. All I do is remove the marble that uncovers the reality of those figures." And in those unfinished slave sculptures, you can see it. It's as if they are coming to life out of the marble. They are partially released. They are vivid and alive and emerging from the marble. And what Michelangelo was doing was just removing what he needed to remove to uncover the beautiful forms inside. I think those grab me because I think that's what God is doing with us. God is uncovering the beauty that lies within us, the reality of God's image that is in each one of us, but that is often blocked or obscured by all the difficult things of life, all the problems, all the sins, all the mistakes, all the junk that blocks the beauty of the created self within. And what God is doing with us in our spiritual lives is patiently and carefully excavating the loveliness of God's creation in each one of us. When Moses ascended the mountain and was in the presence of God, his face shone. He actually had to wear a veil because it freaked everybody out. Shone because he was reflecting fully in that moment the image of God within. He was himself in the most full and perfect way when his face was shining with the glory of God. When Jesus was revealed on the mountain of transfiguration, he shone because he was revealed for the first time to his disciples in his glory, in the fullest sense of his reality. And they never forgot it. It was a glimpse of the resurrection ahead of time, a preview of the glory that was about to be revealed. When we reflect the glory of the image of God in ourselves, we too shine with the light of God's presence. We are revealed as those slave sculptures that Michelangelo was carving in our beauty as reflections of God's beauty and light and glory. Our task in our spiritual lives is to do what we can to be in touch with God's presence in every moment. The great mystics were able to do that to a great extent, but I think I, and maybe you, struggle sometimes to live fully in the presence of God because I'm so distracted. It seems to me, as we reflect on this wonderful gift of transfiguration, this image of the glory of God that sustains us for the trials of life, perhaps when we go back down into the valleys of our lives, we can hold on to the image of Christ's glory and remember the glory that hides within each of us and have the courage to let it out, to let it break forth, to shine on each other with the reflected light of God's presence and love and peace and joy. It's what sustains us through the griefs and challenges and trials of life. It's what enables us to live fully in the presence of God and to reflect the light of God's glory. So as we walk down into the valley of Lent this year, I pray for all of us that we might have those moments, those mountaintop experiences of God's presence, and be enabled to live fully, even in the valley of the shadow of death, to reflect the light of God's love and beauty and glory, to shine and to let others shine, to increase the joy and light and love of God's presence